Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey. Yes, reminding you that there really is only one mind, one source. And because that source created you, created me out of itself in order to express itself to us, recognizing this source to be pure mind and action, knowing that we are the divine in action, reminding you that our only job on the planet is to return to love. And our vision here at the Love Journey is to assist people in how to live from that higher self, recognizing love to be that powerful force from living in that space. And today's show will take you through a journey of your inner self. We have Queen Arlene Cahet. She's going to get us started. We're going to start off with a song. Speak to my heart, oh Lord. This is Donnie McCurkin. Speak to my heart. You tuned in to the Love Journey, and I am Janine Ann Ingram.
If I can hear from you, then I'll know what to do. I won't go on, never go on my own. Just let your spirit guide and let your word abide.
Speak to my heart, Lord.
From my heart.
Give me your
holy word.
If I can hear from you,
if I can hear, then
I know what to do.
Then I know what.
I don't know what to do.
Good morning, good morning. You tuned in to The Love Journey. And that was Donnie McClurk in Speak to My Heart. We're going to invite Queen Arlene Cahet in. Good morning, good morning.
Good morning, good morning, and good morning, family. And so we can go ahead and get ourselves started. And if you're able to, go ahead and close your eyes. And we're going to go ahead and take three cleansing breaths. And these three cleansing breaths are connecting you with your primordial essence, the place in which you were created from. So go ahead and inhale. And exhale. Go ahead, walk two more times. Inhale. And exhale. One more time. Inhale. And exhale. Now, in your mind's eye, I want you to see a golden beam of light that is coming from the source of creation. And it is permeating through the crown of your head. And everywhere this light touches brings you into complete alignment with the divine I am. Everywhere this light touches brings you into complete alignment with the I am that created you, that is you. Now feel it come down your head, inside and out, down your face, and everywhere this light touches brings you into complete alignment with the source of creation. And everywhere this light touches brings you into complete alignment with I am whole, I am perfect, I am complete, I am divine love, I am the embodiment of joy, I am peace. You would come down the sides of your face, inside and out. Energetic aspect of yourself is brought into complete alignment with I am whole. I am perfect. I am complete. I am divine love. I am the embodiment of joy. I am peace. Feel that golden beam of light come down your neck and your shoulders. Everywhere this light touches brings you into complete alignment with I am whole. I am perfect. I am complete. I am divine love. I am the embodiment of joy. I am peace. Feel it come down your shoulders, chest, and your arms, your fingertips, your torso, and everywhere this light touches brings you and every energetic aspect of yourself into complete alignment with I am whole. I am perfect. I am complete and divine love. I am the I am peace. Every energetic aspect of yourself is brought into complete alignment with the source of creation. Every energetic aspect of yourself is brought into complete alignment. Joy, I am peace. Feel that golden beam of light go down your hips, your thighs, your knees, your calves, and everywhere this light touches brings you into complete alignment with the divine I am. Every energetic aspect of yourself is brought into complete alignment with I am whole. I am perfect. I am complete. I am divine love. I am the embodiment of joy. I am peace. Golden beam of light go down through the soles of your feet and down to the center of the earth. Feel it go down the earth's layers to the very center of the earth. Allow yourself to stay here for a moment. And every energetic aspect of yourself, physical and non-physical, is brought into alignment with I am whole. I am perfect. I am complete. I am divine love. I am the embodiment of joy. I am peace. And as you stay here for a moment, ask your body the question, what does it feel like when I am whole? And as you feel that, let it anchor in. This is your true nature. This is your true presence. This is your complete alignment with the divine I am. Allow yourself and ask yourself, how does it feel to my body when I am perfect? Allow yourself to feel it in your body and anchor in, because this is the truth in your complete alignment with the source of creation. What does it feel like to your body when you say, I am complete? Allow, what does completeness feel like to your body? Feel it resonate and anchor in. It is transforming every aspect of yourself and bringing it into complete alignment with Source. What does it feel like to your body to be divine love? Allow yourself to feel that. Yourself as divine love. What does it feel like to your body to be the embodiment of joy? Allow yourself to feel that. Allow yourself to anchor that in. This is your complete alignment with the divine I am. What does it feel like to your body when it feels like peace? Go ahead and anchor that in. Every energetic aspect of yourself is brought into complete alignment with peace. Your body is anchored into I am peace? What does it feel like? Now, see that golden beam of light go ahead and make its way back to you. See it come through the earth's layers, up through the soles of your feet, your ankles, your legs, your calves, your knees, and every energetic aspect of yourself has been transformed into I am whole, I am perfect, divine love, I am the embodiment of joy, I am peace. The truth of who you are is anchored into every energetic aspect of yourself. Feel that golden beam of light come up your knees and up your thighs and everywhere this light touches and transformed into I am whole. I am perfect. I am complete. I am divine love. I am the embodiment of joy. I am peace. Every energetic aspect of yourself feels I am whole. I am perfect. I am complete. I am divine love. I am the embodiment of joy. I am peace. Feel that golden beam of light come up your fingertips, up your torso, up your arms, up your chest, and everywhere this light touches, brings every energetic aspect of yourself into that feeling space of I am whole, I am perfect, I am complete. I am divine love. I am the embodiment of joy. I am peace. Allow your body to feel I am whole, perfect. I am complete. I am divine love. I am the embodiment of joy. I am peace. Feel that golden beam of light go up your shoulders and your neck, your face, your head, through the crown of your head, to source. And allow yourself to stay here for a moment. And allow yourself to feel it in your body and ask your body, what does it feel like when I amplify the vibration of I am whole? Allow it to anchor in. Allow it to anchor into every energetic aspect of yourself. I am perfect. What does I am perfect feel like to your body? What does it feel like to amplify I am perfect? Allow that to anchor in to your body to amplify I am complete. Allow that to anchor in. Amplify, what does it feel like to your body to amplify, I am divine love? Go ahead and anchor that in. What does it feel like to your body to amplify and the embodiment of joy? Allow that to anchor. And what does it feel like to your body when you amplify, I am peace? Allow that to anchor. Now, take that golden beam of light and let it completely surround you throughout your bioenergetic field. And every energetic aspect of yourself is, I am whole, I am perfect, I am complete, I am divine love, I am the embodiment joy, I am peace. Allow it to surround your, that golden beam of light to expand to your family, into your community. And everywhere this light touches, comes into complete alignment with I am whole, I am perfect, I am complete, I am divine love, I am the embodiment of joy, I am peace. Allow that golden beam of light to surround our nation. And everywhere this light touches brings the nation into complete alignment with I am whole, I am perfect, I am complete, I am divine love, I am the embodiment of joy, I am peace. Now allow that golden beam of light band around the world. And everywhere this light touches brings the world into alignment with how Source sees it. Every energetic aspect of this world is brought into complete alignment with the Source of creation, the divine I am. Every energetic aspect of this world is brought into complete alignment with I am whole, I am perfect, I am complete, I am divine love, I am the embodiment of joy, I am peace. Father, Mother, God, illuminate the divine I am within us. Let us operate within the consciousness that you would have us operate in. Let humanity and its leaders around the world be transformed and operate at the consciousness that you would have them operate at. Let everyone see themselves as whole, perfect, complete. Bring healing and wholeness to our minds, our bodies, and our spirits. Bring healing and wholeness to our finances. Bring healing and wholeness to our relationships. Reveal to us what needs to be changed and released. Infuse us with the courage to walk into our power and do what is necessary to change. Dissolve the fear, dissolve the doubt, dissolve the resistance, dissolve the feelings of undeservedness. Let us stand and feel the absolute knowing that all is well. All is well. Let us stand and feel your presence. Let us illuminate your grace and let it fill us, span throughout the world. Let us step into your dream of what our lives should look like. Help us to surrender to you, God. Let us resonate with the wholeness, perfectness, and completeness of the I Am. And if there is anything missing from this prayer, please take it out of our consciousness and put it on my altar seat and make it manifest to your divine will. And I say this through the consciousness of Christ, Amen, Ashe, and so it is. Amen.
Thank you, Arlene. That's Arlene Cahet. Do you want to leave us with any information before we move on to the next part?
Yes. I do consultations and also energy healing, and people can reach me through Facebook. My name is Arlene Cahet. That's K-A-H-E-T. Or you can give me a call at area code 973-885-6930. Again, that number is area code 973-885-6930.
All right. Thank you, Arlene. We appreciate you.
Thank you, and thank you for allowing me to be of service.
Yes, yes. All right, we're going to keep this train moving. Yes, yes. We're welcome to another episode of Guess the White Child. You know I love this. Nice style of the rich. And not so famous. We're going to get started with a song so I can pull everything together. And I don't know, I'm just feeling Diane Reeves testify. You tuned in to The Love Journey. I am Janine Ann Ingram, and this is Diane Reeves.
I think that there's a time in your life when you realize that whatever it is that is eating you, whatever it is that you're running from, whatever it is that you're afraid of, you just have to stop, take a deep breath, turn around, and face it. Face it. Stick your arms out as wide as you can and embrace it. Hold on real tight. You see, the tighter you hold on to it, the smaller it gets. And you just embrace it and embrace it until you find yourself embracing yourself. Then you can move on with peace of mind and all that stuff. Just leave it behind. Sometimes you won't understand why life is the way it is. Things don't always go the way you plan them. But I believe God and time are synonymous. And through time, God reveals all things. You gotta be still, stand in love and hold and pay attention. I just wanna testify. I just gotta testify. I just wanna testify. Oh, I gotta testify. When I look back on my life, I go crazy when I think of the danger I put myself in. But amazing grace always carried me to safety, knowing that I go back to the same place again and again. Lord, no one could ever love me the way that you do. Spirit, mind, and body, I surrender myself daily to you. Oh, and I just wanna testify. I gotta testify. I just wanna testify. with amazing grace as your constant friend. Say, I am free of anger, I am free of fear, and my mind is at ease. I don't regret a single yesterday, because yesterday made me who I am today.
Love Journey featuring Lifestyle of the Rich and Not So Famous. I'm super excited to talk about this young lady and really talk about and bring it on home with the story of the two fish and the five loaves that Jesus talked about in the story of Christ. So I'm really super excited about that. And so today we're going to talk about this lady. She retired with $2 million at 28 years of age. Come on, family. J.P. Livingston is a retiree who lives in New York City with her husband and their dog. And like many retirees, she lives frugally. I can't even say that word because I promise you that's not how I want to live. The three members of the Livingston clan live in about a 300 square feet apartment. That's not a lot of space for one person, let alone two people and a dog, to be home all day. And however, that lifestyle and a number of other habits have enabled Livingston to retire at the age of 28 with a net worth of a whopping family on the Lifestyle of the Rich and Not So Famous, $2 million by the time she was 28 years old. Now, I chose her not necessarily because of some of her habits, but some of the things that led her to be able to retire at 28. Livingston graduated from Harvard in 2009, went to work for an investment bank after graduation. And however, her interest in investing started when she was 12 years old, and her dad gave her a copy of the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad. That book got her interested in money management and starting her own business. Now, one thing I want to stop right here to let you know that what I've noticed about people who develop a relationship with money and begin to get millions and millions of dollars, there's certain books they read. And I've been writing down all the books that they've been reading. And I tell you, family, they're all so similar. While Harvard, Livingston became enamored with living a minimalist lifestyle. After a summer spent in a Buddhist monk in Taiwan, when she was at Harvard, she was pressured to get a big corporate or Wall Street job and to succeed and acquire all the trappings of wealth. But at the monastery, all she had was a thin bamboo mat on a hard wooden plank, basic food, a uniform, and a lot of peace and a lot of quiet and a lot of time to think. She was really happy. She realized that spending money and acquiring things wasn't necessarily the key to lifelong happiness for her. She learned that she didn't need much to live a happy life. So when she graduated from Harvard, she spent some time working as a horse trekking assistant in nomads in Mongolia. And when she came back to the U.S., she planned to start her own business. However, she had a job offer from an investment bank that convinced her that spending a few years learning more about investing and about what made businesses successful would help her when she was actually ready to start her own business. And through her work at that firm, which offered her a very lucrative, and when I say lucrative, salary, she realized she didn't want to start a business. She also set up a very, very, very aggressive savings and investment plan. That plan has enabled her to retire after just a handful of years working a 9-to-5 job. So listen, Livingston focused on cutting her expenses so that she could save most of her salary. She lived on $24,000 a month. She paid $1,100 a month in rent, allocated $900 a month for all additional expenses. She made her first million by the time she was, guess what, family, 26 years old. Her investments were generating, now listen, this is not a lot, 13% on her return, about $130,000 in income. And by that point, working on her investing strategies was more beneficial than figuring out how to save money off her living expenses. Today, J.P. Livingston has a total net worth, guess what, family, $2.25 million, 60% generated by her aggressive savings plans, and 40% of it from investing. Today, she and her husband live on $65,000 per year. Her husband still works, even though the nest egg that JP built up covers all the expenses. Now, if we could be so disciplined, family. And the one thing that she gives credence to in building her network is being intentional. She said, you have to be intentional. Two, she said, you have to do with other people who are doing what you want to do. And three, she said, you have to learn what it is you're doing with money. She says, learn money. All right, those are the three things from her. That's the one we're featuring on the Lifestyle of the Rich and Not So Famous today. And so as I was reading that story, I thought I'll close this out with the story of Jesus and kind of bring it on home because of some of the things that she said about being intentional. And when Jesus was multiplying the loaves and the fish, the one thing I realized about Christ Jesus, he was intentional. Down through the centuries, stories of miraculous plenty have abounded in the Holy Land and are current even to this day. There's nothing stingy about the Lord's provision for us. It's found in the miracle of the loaves and the fish. See, the importance of this popular miracle is shown in the fact that there is the only one of Jesus' prosperity miracles to be mentioned in all four Gospels. And it's mentioned in the Bible a total of 6 times, family. You see, in Matthew 14:13-21, Mark 6:31-44, Luke 9:10-17, Matthew 15:32-39, Mark 8:1-21, and John 6:1-14. It's mentioned 6 times. That's how powerful this story is. It is reassuring to realize that Jesus was concerned about the physical as well as the spiritual needs of his people. Jesus knew that the spiritual leaders and organizations of his time should concern themselves with the economic and material welfare of humanity. If their ministries were to be of real help, just as religious leaders and organizations should do today. You see, the word continues means what? To go on without interruption or to begin again after interruption. You see, all of us are interested in the prosperity, and our prosperity continuing, having a continuation. You want your good to go on without interruption. And if your good has been interrupted, then you want it to begin again. It can and it will as you learn to use the steps that Jesus used in this famous story, famous old fish story. It's been generally assumed that the process of multiplication is almost beyond our comprehension, yet Jesus pointed out the simple steps that each one of us take to experience the miracle of supply. You see, Jesus gave us these mystic steps for continuing our own supply when he multiplied the loaves and the fish to feed thousands. You see, it's important to realize that, one, Jesus first gave his famous success philosophy in the Beatitudes early in his ministry. And through these teachings, he shared with us some of the most powerful formulas ever offered. It's equally as significant to realize after he set forth these powerful steps, he then got busy showing us how these philosophies could be put to work in our daily lives. He then performed some of the most outstanding works. One of the most popular ones is what we call this prosperity miracle. You see, the secret for developing a prosperity consciousness is this. You must learn the philosophy of prosperous thinking and how to apply its specific prosperity principles. Then you must get busy applying and practicing those enchanting formulas over and over again. You see, to do so gives you an inner hold on the substance, the rich substance of the universe, which then produces satisfying results. It's fascinating to notice. You see, Jesus' most popular prosperity miracles began by saying that Jesus within withdrew into a desert place apart, which is in Matthew 14:13. See, it was in this desert setting that he had to meet the great needs of the multitude. And you see, there's nothing wrong with desert places. The desert peace passes all understanding. It was on the peaceful deserts of the world that the great religions were born. Moses, Elijah, and Paul all spent long periods in the desert. Muhammad lived all his life in the desert. Even today, common folks as well as world leaders and religious seekers take refuge in isolated places in order to become renewed within and without and to make important decisions. At times, most of us can find ourselves in a desert place apart, either literally or through the circumstances of our lives. These desert experiences can produce vast good. We need to go alone on occasion and to pray and to meditate, to think things through and to get our perspective. See, we need to get free of other people's opinions and the pressures of personalities at times so that we can listen to the voice of truth that is within each and every one of us. If you find yourself in a desert place apart, you can know that you are there for a good reason. And in that place apart, you can make your good continue. If it has been interrupted, you can even cause it to begin flowing again. And I want you to think about that. Because after Jesus had spent an entire day healing the multitude who had followed him to his desert place apart, his disciples came to him and started to talk like. Now, how could you be a follower of Jesus? How could you be even remotely in Jesus' space and talk like? See, the place is desert, and the time has already passed. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food. That was in Matthew 14:13, but Jesus paid no attention to this negative report in the face of that. So the disciples said again to Jesus, send the people away so they can go and buy themselves some food. We have nothing to feed the people. And Jesus paid no attention. You see, he invoked a prosperous attitude. He used the no power of his mind as he refused to believe in or to be hypnotized by the appearance of lack. In effect, he reversed the thought and said, I don't believe a word of it. It is not so. Come on, Jesus. Tell them disciples. He spoke prosperous words. Jesus made an astonishing statement in the face of lack. They have no need to go away. Give ye them to eat. What? Jesus said, no. They have no need to go away. You feed these people. In effect, he was saying, we have enough. We have plenty to spare and to share. Now, if you find yourself in a desert place apart that seems barren of your good, you also have what you need to begin needing that be. Provided like Jesus, you also can invoke a prosperous attitude and refuse to be hypnotized by the appearance of light. You got to speak words of abundance. I have more than enough. I have plenty to share and to spare. So when Jesus said to the multitude of hungry people, they have no need to go away, give them something to eat, The reply was, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. We don't have that much. We only got 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus said, bring them hither to me. You see, the loaves and the fish had significant prosperity symbology in the East. See, bread was the main food, and it was considered sacred. You see, bread that was baked by a pious, blessed woman who devoted herself to prayer and fasting was considered a blessed bread. The people of Jesus' time also believed that blessings of holy men caused bread to multiply, and when articles of food were handled, God's name was invoked and his abundant blessings were sought. You see, a poor man in the East expected God to bless what he had if necessary to multiply. You see, God would increase my substance. God will bless what I have was a common prayer that they often blessed their bread by commanding God increase it. One, the bread which Jesus multiplied did not merely mean food. It symbolizes all things that we require for a healthy, free, harmonious life. Those 5 loaves symbolizes the good you desire in your life, whether it be greater health, more wealth, better health, or happiness. You see, the fish symbolizes the increase of that desired good as expanded health, harmony, and prosperity in your life. Jesus worked essentially in the realm of ideas rather than the realm of effects. He often used fish to illustrate his prosperity teachings because fish are the most prolific of all things. The fish was an ancient symbol. It was a fertility sign denoting the power to increase. Fish symbolizes the idea of abundance, which multiplied when used. Furthermore, fish was a cherished article of diet throughout the East. The 2 small fish handed Jesus was a type of like a salted sardine that was considered a delicacy or the best of food. So Jesus believed that God's will for us was nothing but the best. So he multiplied the substance at hand, a delicacy of the best of foods, which he then shared bountifully with the multitude. Now, this should be a vast reassurance to you and to me to claim nothing but the best for our own lives. Such a bold claim carries divine favor. After receiving the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, Jesus put these things in divine order. He told the multitude to sit down on the grass, to get quiet, and to get ready to receive. Now, this is the ultimate thing I want you to think about. He asked the people to sit down, to get centered, and to get ready. When you begin to get things in order this way, you can meet the problem of whatever's going on in your life victoriously. See, whenever lack is in your life, you can meet it victoriously. Jesus was able to turn the tables on lack when he did this. When he got centered and got ready to receive. See, when the needs arise, just like Jesus, you may say to us, sit down, get quiet, get ready to receive your good and do whatever you can in an inner and outer way to take control and bring about order. This will lead to a prosperous result. After Jesus brought about divine order, so let's talk about that divine order. And the reason why I want to bring that up, so many times when we find ourselves in a situation, because that we find ourselves in a situation of lack or we find ourselves in a situation of whatever situations we're in, we do not get still, we do not get quiet, we do not get ourselves back in order. We get into a high energy, very unorganized situation. I have plenty of people have called me, Janine, I don't know how I'm going to do this today. Oh, Janine, I don't have. And I said, okay, let's breathe. First, let's breathe. And know that there's nothing but the best for you. So we always got to remind ourselves when we find ourselves in that anticipating, over-anxiety, nervous energy, we got to get things in devout order. We got to first breathe. And once Jesus brought divine order, he took the substance in hand, which was the bread, and the idea of increase, which was the fish. So let's talk about that. I want you to really hear what I'm saying. He took the bread and the fish, but the bread symbolizes what was available, and the fish represents what was in, what's available, what's at hand, and the fish represents the ideas that come in our mind. But let me tell you what he did was powerful. He looked to the heavens within. And he looked up. He looked up me. He raised the vibration of his mind. He blessed, broke, and gave out the multiplied results. So if you look up, if you look within and up, if you always be, you will always be provided for. So take what you have and then break or divide it. Next, send it forth to meet the needs of the moment. But do so in a certain way instead of thinking this isn't enough. Remember that sharing in the beginning of financial increase also remembers the astonishing statement of abundance that Jesus made in the face of Lot. Now remember now, in the face of Lot, when the disciples said to Jesus, send the people away so they can go feed themselves. And Jesus looked at him like, what? They got no need to go away. Fix these people something to eat. In a like manner, declare these words of abundance in the face of lack. There is plenty to meet this need. There's always enough. There's more than enough. Charity miracles. You take what you have, look up and bless it. Rather than looking down and criticizing it, many people with tangled business affairs have straightened them out completely by looking straight at them saying, I praise God right now for plenty. Right now, God. In this right now moment, I give thanks for plenty. With these words of prayers and blessings on your lips, a miracle can happen. But we got to persist in it daily. This prayer method can produce pure miracles. I remember one of my friends called me. Sometimes people or children or people in our lives are not operating sometimes in the way we would like to. And I remember giving her this that comes from Catherine Ponder. She said, I refuse to, this is the affirmation, I refuse to think of you as only human. I behold you as a child of the creation. The child of God, creating an image of love, and I recognize the divinity in you, which is your true best self. You are a spiritual being, a temple of the living God, and you now think and act accordingly. And we gave her that affirmation over her child. And you cannot, I cannot even tell you, with her saying that all day throughout the day when she thought about her child, that she refused to think of her child as only him. I behold you, such and such, as a child of the God, creating an, and you can do this in your relationships, and I tell you, it will bless your relationship. If you persist in it daily, prayer method can produce miracle results, not only for the other person, but also for you. It's impossible to feel depressed, unattractive, unsuccessful in any way, or any negative when you realize that you are the creation of the Creator's turf, that the Creator loves you, and that you are an expression of God, and that you move and have your being in the midst of all of God's abundant life, which created you. Neither can you feel awkward, backward, or self-conscious or defensive while silently blessing other people and looking for the beauty and kindness and goodness in them. And as you think this way, watch yourself change. I tell you, there's nothing like a blessing. Bless your money. Bless your family. Bless your relationships. Bless yourself. You see, blessing our money can increase and direct us on how to use that money to increase. Even in bare conditions, even if all you have is very little, if there's much that is available to you, if you know how to bring it forth, Jesus did this through the act of what? Blessing. There's no doubt that this act of blessing increased the supply on hand to the point of feeding the multitudes. What does the word bless mean? To make whole by spoken words. The ancients felt that a blessing carried great power to accomplish good. And Jesus proved over and over again that the act of blessing had a mystical multiplying power. See, the act of blessing still carries that same power to produce increase today. Historians claim that when Jesus took the sacred loaves of bread and the best of fish, which were considered a rich delicacy in his hand, he then what? He looked up and blessed what was on hand. You see, Jesus took that fish and that bread and began to give thanks and praise it and bless it and thank the Father and the Mother God for the opportunity to bring forth such bounty of the goodness of our Creator. Jesus did that fearlessly, and then fearlessly passed it out. Historians report that as Jesus did this, the bread and the fish seemed to multiply on the spot. When a loaf or a fish was broken, it was immediately made entire again. In this way, Jesus gained an inner control of substance. He never let down. He never gave in to the appearance of lack. Let me say that again. Jesus never looked to the appearance of lack. He never gave in to the idea of lack. He never took his hands off the visible supply. Once he began to bless, break, and pass out what he had, he could continue to do so as though it was endless. You see, the bread and the fish that then passed through his hands in a steady flow were able to feed the multitudes. In this miracle, Jesus proved that man need not live by bread alone. He can develop an inner consciousness of supply which will feed and prosper. When one is functioning from the inner level of prosperous thinking, outer supply will surely show up. See, one of Jesus' secrets in manifesting miraculous riches was that he did not mentally put off his good. He did not expect a delay. He knew that faith draws on divine resources as he expected immediate results. In the mighty consciousness of Jesus, in the right now moment, God, do it right now, God. You see, first he began to give thanks and rejoice. Second, he learned the value of expectancy. Do we expect God's good today in this right now moment? You see, the rich substance of the universe flows under your hand in an unending stream of plenty. If you keep your hand in that stream of plenty by blessing it and affirming it, it is enough, more than enough. You can break substance in any form and any amount as the need arises. You see, when the mind centers its attention upon divine substance, which is the foundation of all wealth, long enough and strong enough, the mental action of breaking up causes invisible substance to appear as a visible result. Thousands of few, the rich substance of the universe is sufficient to provide abundantly. Desert or garden, substance abound. Neither circumstances nor numbers need dismay you. If you remain relaxed and casual, you can cause your good to multiply as needed. But as soon as you start criticizing, it isn't enough, then you lose your inner center. Even if the conditions look doubtful, relax, then continue to break the form that is required. Break according to the need. Whatever comes, whatever goes, keep your hand on the, keep your mind on the substance of God in an inner relaxed way. Break that mental hold that's got you in a way that can only you can do it. That glass ceiling that you place that limits, seeing just crash up and know that with the blessing that you have forcefully pushed forth, that God's love is bountifully raining down on you right now. So in the financial desert, take control through an inner consciousness. Take back that appearance and speak words of abundance. There is more than enough. Call forth what it is that you want in your life right now, family. Multiply it. Be fearless and relaxed in knowing that God is the source. I'm going to say it again. We got to bless and be grateful. When you think about our brother Christ, the first thing he did whenever a situation arose was he did what? He got centered. He brought himself into a divine space, family. And then he absolutely gave thanks. And then he absolutely blessed what was at hand. And no matter how many times the disciples want to seemingly give in to the appearance of what was showing up, he never gave in to the idea that there was ever any lack. Jesus, we don't have enough. Send the people away. Jesus said, what? There's more than enough. Feed these people. Jesus, we only got 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. Bring these here right now. Bring it here right now. What is wrong with these people? Do they know who I am? They must don't know who I am. I know that's what, you know, I'm putting a spin on it. Jesus must have said they don't know who I am. And that's what I want you to say to your situation. We see this young lady at 28 years old retired with $2.25 million. Being intentional. She said you got to be intentional. I said you got to be intentional about being intentional about blessing and asking for a direction. So you got to get centered and be serious about if money is what you want, your love life, whatever it is, a new job, whatever it is, get intentional. Bless the job you already have. Bless the money you already have. Bless the relationship you already have and get centered and call forth and speak what it is that you want into your life. We got, you know what I realized, family? I'm going to say this. I know we're at the top of the hour. I realized, family, in these last 3 weeks, 4 weeks since I've been involved with the people who are making the kind of money that I decided that I wanted to do in my life. One thing I noticed listening to audios, listening to watching, it's a very intentional thing when you're moving from that space of $100,000 a year, $10 an hour, $15, whatever area you're in. You have to be intentional because it's so easy to fall back into the habit of a $10 hour mindset or a $100,000 a year mindset or a $15 hour mindset or wherever you are in the process. It's so easy to fall back into that and get complacent. It's a stretch to stretch yourself into an idea that you really can make $80,000 a month. You really can make $50,000 a month, $100,000 a month, $2.5 million a year. Whatever ideas that you have you want to make, and whatever that is, it's okay. But I'm saying whatever you want to do, you can do it. But it does take a stretching of the mind. It takes intentional work. You have to be intentional because it's so easy to, when you watch your day-to-day thought processes about money, your relationship to money, your energy of money, or whatever you want to change in your life, it's very interesting. So in today, family, today's message is to remind you to bless what you do have, to be intentional about your thoughts around whatever it is that you want to bring into your experience. And it's so powerful when you make a commitment to be committed to the commitment. So, family, as we move through today and as we park upon Thanksgiving, it's Thursday, this is a great week to talk about blessing and thanking and praising. It's a great week to clean up your house and get rid of clutter and just release things that you no longer want in your life and just move spaces around to open up more receiving. And the one thing that I want to talk about is we're going to talk about more this week is preparing to receive. Can you imagine that we desire certain things, but we do not put ourselves in preparation to receive? Yes. If you want to bring more money into your space, you want a new house, a new car, you got to be prepared to receive. And we're going to talk about more about that. So today I want you to just kind of, in your day-to-day thinking, just as you get ready to go to work, thank God for your job. Thank God for the people, even if you don't really particularly like the energy. Just change the atmosphere and just bless the job. Thank you for the people that surround you in your job. Every day, bless your money substance before you send it out. Bless the money you have in the bank. Bless the money you have in your pockets and your wallet. Bless it. Bless your relationship with your husband and your wife. Bless it with your family. Bless yourself. And watch your life start to change just from there. That's my message for today. I really want us to think about what must we do to be intentional to meet the needs and desires that we have in our life. How can we be more intentional? Jesus teaches us that. Everything that Christ did, he always stopped and gave thanks. He always centered himself before he moved forth with everything. So that's my message, family. Any questions, comments, or concerns, let's open up the line. You can start 6 if you're on Blog Talk. You can press the 1. That's our message. We have a 3-day week, family, reminding you there is a 3-day week this week. We will not be here Thanksgiving nor Friday. So I want to let you know that I want to also wish you a lot of love this on this holiday season as we get together with our family to break bread. Remember to just give thanks for our family. Send the angels before you this year, so that you can have ease, elegance, and grace and joy while eating around the table and being with your family this Thanksgiving, and bless those that are still in our lives physically today as we move in opportunity to break bread with our family. I love you, family. Thank you for tuning in to the Love Journey. And I just want to remind you today, this message and on the lifestyle of the rich and not so famous was truly about having gratitude. I want you to listen to this.
Can you keep your eyes fixed on the presence of God in the presence of your enemies? Because at this table, David said, God isn't the only one seated. I got enemies all around me. You prepare, verse 5, a table for me in the presence of my insecurity, in the presence of my deficits, in the presence of my addictions, in the presence of my confusion, in the presence of what I've lost, in the presence of the threat that I won't make it. In the presence of my enemies, I'm looking straight ahead. Would you do me a favor? Would you touch the person next to you and tell them, set the table? Because when you learn to have a heart of praise in the presence of enemies, you set the table. That's what David said, right? You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. And if you can walk with God in darkness enough, depending on the light that he showed you in the last season, you'll learn to read your enemies as a sign that it's time to eat. David said, God made my enemies serve me my entree. God made the things that conspire to take me out. Feed me for the place He was bringing me into. I got a seat at the table. I'm a big boy. I can handle trouble. I can handle tests. I can handle it. So I'm sitting down in the middle of all kinds of nonsense, but I got my eyes fixed on the presence of the one who is within me. And greater is He that is in me.
Woo! Greater is He that is within me. All right, y'all. Y'all know I got one more for you. Got one more for you. Gotta always get this motivation on, family. Get the day started.
I'm telling you, you can make whatever kind of money you want to make. You can have whatever you want to have. You can do whatever you want to do. Like, there are no limitations. And aren't you tired? There's some of y'all out there right now. You're tired. You know, somebody telling you when to come to work. Somebody telling you when to take lunch. Somebody telling you when to do a vacation. Somebody telling you what you can and cannot do. Some of us, we were born to fly. But what I'm telling you is, when you become the right person, what I mean by the right person is, once you identify who you are and you begin to separate yourself from the masses and you begin to see your individuality, when you begin to see your talents, when you begin to see your personal skills, all right, it's like this. If you ever wore a suit from the store before, that's one thing. But if you ever got a suit tailored, are you hearing what I'm saying? If you ever got a tailored suit before, you know that it's different from going to buy a one-size-fits-all suit and then having a suit that's tailor-made. It fit different. The pants are different. The way you walk in it is totally different. Why? Because it's fit to you. And what I'm telling you is, you need to have a tailor-made life. When you were created with a specific purpose, a specific design. I don't care if you was born and, you know, your parents didn't claim you. You still special. I don't care if your mama wasn't in your life, your daddy wasn't in your life. You are still special. When you were created, you were designed to do what nobody else can do. And I'm telling you, when you become the right person, when you become the right person, what you do is you start separating yourself from other people. You begin to have a certain uniqueness. As long as you're following other people, as long as you're being a copycat, you will never ever be the best copycat in the world, but you will be the best you could be. So I'm challenging you, number one, I'm challenging you to define your value, right? Number two, I challenge you, listen to me, if you want to make more money, if you want to be more successful, if you want to have and do stuff you ain't never done before, number two, I'm asking you to invest in you. That's right, invest what? Number one, I'm asking you to invest time. I'm asking you to invest time in yourself. Some of y'all, you spend so much time with other people. You spend so much time trying to get people to like you. You spend so much time trying to fit in that you don't even know who you are. You know other people more than you know yourself. You study them. You know about them. You want to hang out like them. You want to be just like them. And you know what? You've invested so much time in them, you don't know who you are. I challenge you to spend time by yourself. I challenge you to check yourself out. There's some young ladies right now, you fine, you pretty, you got it going on. Some brothers, you handsome, you suave, you got swag. But you know what your problem is? You've been in one relationship after another relationship, and you ain't never been in a good relationship because you don't even know you. You spend so much time taking her out. You spend so much time trying to impress him. You spend so much time buying her flowers, taking her out to lunch. You spend so much time calling him. You don't even know who you are. You heard what I said. You've invested so much of your time in being liked by other people, being loved by other people, being appreciated by other people, that you don't even know who you are. And I challenge you to invest time in your own self. I challenge you to get to a place when people don't like you, it don't even bother you no more. Why? Because you're not concerned with trying to make them happy, because you're trying to blow up. You're trying to get to the next level. E.T., I don't like the fact that you do this. I don't care. I'm not living my life for you. I'm living my life for me.
Invest in yourself. There's no greater investment than investment in yourself. All right, family. Tony, can't keep it to myself.
Oh, come on, baby. Please, come on. Don't tell nobody. Come on. We could have did it by now. Come on.
For tuning in to the Love Journey. I appreciate you. Have a good day, family.